Greetings in the Savior's blessed and worthy name. If suddenly today you stood in the presence of Almighty God, and as He looked at you, He called you by name and said, "Tell me, why should I let you into my heaven?" What would your answer be? Let us pray. Eternal God, we bow before you today in that ever precious, that eternally worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thankful for His precious blood which gives us access into the most holy presence of Thyself. Speak today, Father, as we look into Thy Word. Bless every listening child of God. Some are sick, some are troubled, some are discouraged. Meet the needs of all of your children who are listening today. And by the grace of God, through the blood of Christ, save those listening, Father, who have never been born again. And may some in simple childlike faith repent of their sins and receive Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ of the living God, the Lamb of God who died on Calvary, the one who arose from the grave and will come again. May it be so, Father, because it's through Him and in His worthy name that we ask it all, giving thanks. Amen. We continue this morning in our study of the correspondence course, Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. For those of you who ordered one of these courses, you have surely concluded by now that we're not traveling very fast. Nevertheless, I trust that the slow pace does give you an opportunity to study all the verses in the text, and that as you study, you're getting a blessing from the Lord. Hopefully, however, we will conclude lesson number one today. And in that event, be sure to look up all the scripture references, answer all the questions, and then if you like, you can mail the test right to me in care of this station. We'll grade it and return it to you. We find a text given in Lesson 1 from 1 Corinthians 10 and 32, which reads, "Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God." Thus far in our considerations, we have noted that great contrast exists between the Jew, or Israel, and the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, the church being that group of people whom we read in Ephesians Christ loved and for whom He gave Himself on the cross. We've seen these contrasts as they exist in the origin of the church and the nation of Israel. We've seen these contrasts in their calling, in their conduct. Drastically, we recognize differences in their worship. And then, last week, we began to consider the differences that exist in the future of the church which He loved, the church which shall soon be His bride in a marriage to be consummated in heaven, and the contrast that exists for Israel's future. As we noted, the church has a heavenly inheritance. Everything related to the church relates to heaven. And being that Christ our head is now in heaven, Acts 1 and Acts 7 for two places, and in that He has promised to come for us, and this has been corroborated by both the angels and by the teachings of the apostles, by many of the New Testament inspired books, we as His children look forward to His return and our being caught up to be with Him and even to be conformed to His very image for all eternity. We read that for one place in 1 John, the epistle written under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit. But now let's get on to Israel. And except for the few Israelites or Jewish people who have acknowledged their guilt and sin and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as their Lord and Master, and incidentally that's just the way you and I have come, listening Christians today, we came to Christ in that same way, guilty, lost, hell-deserving rebels. We acknowledged our guilt and our sin and trusted Him, and He gave us His gift of eternal life, a gift that He paid for with His own blood. And except for those few Jews, those people who are the descendants of Abraham, who have come this very same way, there is just ahead for the rest of them a very awful and extremely ominous time of judgment. They're going to experience the wrath of God being poured out upon them. A time when the God of justice and the God of mercy will be true to His word, and He will become to them the God of judgment, the God of wrath. The same one today who is, oh, bless God, the God who is love, the God of grace, the God of mercy and compassion, the God, Peter says, who is long-suffering, willing that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. But there's coming a day when, in His own time, He will carry away the church. Now, we've pointed out so many times, we're not talking about a religious body or a denomination or a building. He'll take away His body, His believers, the church of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church which He redeemed with His blood. Not one particular denomination. Some denominations use these Bible terms, and they try to use them exclusively to themselves. But I'm speaking of the church universal, the church which belongs to Him, the church which is made up of repentant sinners who have been added to His church by the Spirit of God when they trusted Christ, Acts chapter 2. Well, He's going to take us away. And then all who are left, Jew and Gentile, will be left for that awful day of His wrath. I remember shortly after the Six-Day War, one of Israel's leaders said, "Finally, all of Israel's suffering is behind them." Oh, would to God this were so. Would to God their suffering was behind them. They have suffered. They've suffered much over many, many years since the Great Dispersion. But, friend of mine, though their great day of glory is ahead, also Israel's greatest day of suffering will come just before that. Daniel tells about it. Daniel has much to say, and I would encourage you to read Daniel's prophecy as he relates what will happen to those who rejected the Messiah, to those who cried out, "His blood be upon us and our children. We'll not have this man to rule over us." Oh, there's coming a day, Zechariah tells us, when they will look upon Him whom they pierced. They will look upon Him whom they crucified. Read Matthew chapter 24. Matthew also tells us much about this great day, this 70th week of Daniel, this day of Jacob's trouble. I'd like to share with you from the Word of God from Luke chapter 1. And we read, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." In this passage, there are five promises given to Mary that have already been literally fulfilled. Two other promises given to Mary at the same time have not yet been fulfilled. Friend of mine, let me ask you, if God fulfilled those first five, is He not duty-bound to fulfill those next two promises? Most surely, all these promises given to Mary concerning Jesus the Messiah and His reigning over Israel will come true. Five of them already, literally, accurately, completely fulfilled. And yet two more given to Mary at the same time. And bless God, Israel has glory ahead of them. But they must pass through the time of Jacob's trouble. Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. And to this agree the words of the prophet, "As it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up." So we read in Acts, the 15th chapter. Friend of mine, we are living in the most exciting time, the days of the fulfillment of the prophecies of God. Read your Bible, and then as you read your newspaper, you find many of these things pointing to the fulfillment of prophecy taking place right here before our very eyes. It's prophesied that the desert will blossom like a rose, and already, through irrigation, under the control of man, much of these things are shaping up, and yet they'll not reach their peak, their ultimate, until under God's control, with Christ upon the throne, these prophecies will be utterly and completely fulfilled. We read from Romans chapter 11, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these be, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So we read in Romans chapter 11. Friend of mine, God has yet a time to deal with Israel. Some would tell us today that all of God's dealings with Israel are in the past. But if he's fulfilled the majority of the scriptures relating to them, surely he will not be slack concerning promises given to Abraham, given through Daniel, given through other prophets, given even in the New Testament, concerning his dealing with this nation, and concerning his dealing with fulfilling his promise to have the descendant of David, the Lord Jesus, reigning upon the throne. You might notice Romans chapter 9 as we close. We read that they are not all Israel who are of Israel, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. We read that all Israel would be saved. But it's not all who are born of Abraham's descendants, but it's all who are true Israelites by putting their faith in the Word of God and trusting what He has to say. By the same token, being an American doesn't make you a Christian. Being a member of a Protestant denomination doesn't make you a Christian. It's only as your faith is placed in Him, the Lamb of God, the Lord of glory, that He gives you eternal life and adds you to His church, which soon shall be with Him in heaven. More next week. May the Lord bless you.